A communications disruption can mean only one thing: invasion.
A communication disruption can only mean one thing:
negotiation. We've lost all communication.
Invasion. What will the future of Star Wars bring?
You must contact me.
You must contact me and listen to Reed.
They wouldn't dare.
It's unthinkable.
In this CO Bibbles Bubble Bubble Star Wars Prequels Appreciation Podcast.
It's outrageous.
Hello, and welcome to a non-standard version of CO Bibbles Babble Bubble. I guess it should go without saying that nearly every version of CO Bibbles Babble Bubble is non-standard because consistency is overrated, if you ask this host. But what makes today non-standard is I'm not in my usual, or at least my preferred, recording location, so this is presently being recorded outside. It's a gray day here in Austin, Texas. So you'll hear the sound of the wind going through the leaves, perhaps. Or a dog barking, or the many, many wind chimes that I'm currently around. And maybe I'll come in a little more nasally than you expect, or as I raise my voice to speak over. But I decided that... Ooh, here comes the wind and rain. I decided that I'm loving this weather, and I should share this experience with you, even if it turns out to be mediocre audio quality at best that's coming in. But what does this climate make me think of? Well, there's no trees at this fictitious location, but it's kind of like Camino with a little less rain, but it is gray, and it is windy. And rather than clones, I have two dogs in my general vicinity, and maybe a cat who'll come walking out at one point or another. But anyhow, let's dive into business. So as pretty much everybody who has a podcast, a YouTube channel, or a mouth of Star Wars opinions they just want to share to some friends has talked about, The Mandalorian is coming out, and we had a special look that was aired during a Monday Night Football. Per usual, ABC is sticking with that stint of ABC, Disney, ESPN, I should say, of just confusing football fans who don't really get Star Wars. It's a good ploy for what it is. Now, I'm not going to break down the trailer, or I'm not going to have expectations discussed of what I believe is going to be coming down the pipe for The Mandalorian, because, well, frankly, that just breaks away from the character and the duties assigned to this program. After all, this is a prequels appreciation podcast, and, well, last I checked, The Mandalorian wasn't a prequel to anything, but in fact a season 2 to a sequel to a movie, so there we go. That being said, I thought, what if we looked at The Mandalorian and put a more prequels lens on top of it? So rather than saying, this is what I would expect to see, or this is what I would realistically hope to see, let's go full fantasy. Let's take The Mandalorian and, well, make it as prequels focused as possibly can be. So this is not me guessing what's going to happen, because if any of this were to happen, I'd be shocked. Now, I will say, however, that back in November of 2019, in the CO Bibbles Babble Bubble episode, Confederacy of Independent Mandalorians, I did correctly predict that he had, the Mandalorian, I should say, Din, if you will, had a traumatic experience with battle droids. So you know what? Maybe I'll hit a similar note here, and you will all be pleasantly surprised when a bunch of Geonosians show up and say, well, I'll be darned, the Babble Bubble was right. But we'll get to those Geonosians there in a second. So what I could have done is gone through and scripted out an episode for you, or even storyboarded and sketched an idea. But this is going to be totally on the fly. The week kind of got away from me, and this episode was due, so we're just going to have to see what happens to follow. So picture this. Opening scene. We hear that Mandalorian music we love so much. Here comes in the long, thick recorder music. Because it is both long and thick. And it is a recorder. Anyhow, the Razor Crest is being piloted by the Mandalorian. The little baby Yoda, the child, if you will, is sitting there in its on its knee. That's kind of a cute shot. But where are they headed? What planet could they possibly be flying to? Well, it isn't a prequel's wish list if there's not a stop to Naboo. That's right. The Mandalorian and the child are off to Naboo. Now, where did we leave off these characters? Well, the Mandalorian received an assignment to take the child and help him find his people, be it members of Yoda's species or be it the Jedi altogether. So why Naboo? Well, we do know that Naboo has a unique group of people around. No, it's not Yoda's species, and no, it's not a Jedi temple, but it is the Gungans. Now, why are we going to see the Gungans? Well, the Gungans were dropped in The Mandalorian Season 1. Bill Burr's character guessed that the Mandalorian underneath his helmet was not, in fact, a person, but a Gungan. So, the Mandalorian may be thinking to himself, well, I don't know exactly what those Gungans are, but I do know that this asset, the child, who everyone calls Baby Yoda, is referencing to a fact that there is an adult Yoda, or was an adult Yoda, who talks kind of non-standard. But due to the Empire destroying historical records and holotapes, we're not sure what's the non-standard grammar that Master Yoda may have had. Unless you were to talk to Luke Skywalker, but I don't think that's going to happen. Because if we're doing a prequels lens, the last time we saw Luke Skywalker, he was a baby. We have no idea what he's up to now. So, the Mandalorian's looking for people who talk non-standard, perhaps not have the greatest grammar, and something that's been brought up before. So that's the Gungans. You know, we don't know exactly that the Mandalorian knows what the Gungans look like, except maybe that they have big ears. Well, lo and behold, the child has big ears. It's a very different type of large ears, but it's big ears nonetheless. So, the Mandalorian and the child fly off to Naboo and reach the capital city of Theed, where, well, this wouldn't be C.O. Bibble's Babble Bubble without a reference to C.O. Bibble, where, after a dogfight for somebody trying to chase him down, he nearly crashes into a statue of, that's right, C.O. Bibble. And the Mandalorian comes stepping out of the Razor Crest. You're like, oh, almost took off the head. When he realizes he did nick off a little top of the crown there. It's the back top of the head for those of you unfamiliar with head physiology, I suppose. I could be wrong, actually. Is that indeed the crown of the head? I believe so, because that's where a crown sits. Anyway, so he takes off the crown of the head, not a literal crown, because he wasn't a king, he was a governor. And this man comes storming out of the building and starts yelling at him, oh, how could you do that? That was my great ancestor. Yes, because the person yelling at him is actually C.O. Bibble's great-grandson, Rodney Bibble. And don't worry, this is Star Wars, so Rodney's going to be spelt like R-O-D-N-E-E, spaced out, so knee is his last name, kind of, Rodney Bibble. And that's going to be the first, actually, if Naboo counts as the first, this will be the second prequels reference that we see here. And Rodney Bibble is going to be played by some comedian or another that just makes everybody go crazy. You know, just like it was cool seeing Bill Burr, we're going to be super excited to see Rodney Bibble played by Hannibal Buress. I could see it now. The guy's just, you know, observational comedy of what's all occurring. Anyhow, the Mandalorian and Rodney decide, you know, well, this is kind of an awkward situation. I almost destroyed your great ancestor statue. But here, let me make it up to you. I'm returning this being here, points to the child, to his family, which I assume are the Gungans, because they have crazy ears, and they speak in sort of a broken English. To which Rodney says, Gungans? Those aren't no Gungans. He's not a Gungan. Gungans have long, flappy ears, not long, pointy ears. And to which point the Mandalorian says, well, have you ever seen him as a baby? Maybe the child's ears are going to grow out and start flapping down. And so Rodney, who is open to the fact that he is more close-minded than his more wherewithal great-grandfather, or at least doesn't as well traveled around the Boo, says, well, okay, you know, the Gungans don't bring their babies up to the surface of Theed. It's only the grown Gungans who we get to see. So let's go down and go see the Gungans. So, Rodney Bibble, once again played by Hannibal Buress, the Mandalorian and the child all head down to where the Gungans are. Now, of course, the entire journey down there is just a comedy of errors and laughs and fun stuff, as always a bigger fish keeps coming up and almost eating them. And by the time they get there, they realize that, well, the Gungans and the child aren't the same thing, but the Mandalorian thinks, wow, what a peaceful, pleasant living situation. Maybe the child would be good and better off here living with the Gungans than having to deal with me. So he offers to drop him off there while he looks for the family. But in classic fashion of the Mandalorian TV shows, of course, that just doesn't go over quite the same way. And the Mandalorian realizes, no, this is a horrible idea. The Gungans are clumsy. They have no real understanding of the Force or the ways of the Jedi. So he has to take him with him. Meanwhile, Rodney Bibble learned a little more about himself. And more about how Gungan children looked. And that started to make it into the history books and the science books. Anatomy books? Anthropology? I'm not sure what would be the right subject here to have what Gungan children look like for the people of Naboo. But anyhow, the Mandalorian goes flying off and the theme commences. We see all those sketches of Theed and all the sketches of the Gungans and the bosses all sitting together. And oh, it's good. And that, so that's the first take. That's, you know, the first prequel-specific episode of The Mandalorian that we see where he goes to Naboo. But he's still out there looking for his family. Episode 2, let's assume it's a run-in with what you think at first are going to be Imperials, because after all, the Imperials were the big bad guys in last season. But wait, lo and behold, what could it possibly be? This ship is reaching out to the Razor Crest and gets in its tractor beam, and the camera is not showing it, but you feel like, oh no, a shadow blocked over the sun, it's got to be a Star Destroyer, or like a Quasar-class transport ship, or something. But no, it's in fact a scavenger ship, but a big one. By the time the Razor Crest is brought in and the door opens, the Mandalorian and the child walk out and see what? Dun-dun! An entire squadron of B-2 super battle droids. That's right, the very same squadron that stole the Mandalorian's family away from him. This is a deep an emotional episode. You know, we got to see in season 1 the Mandalorian sort of get to know droids better by sort of bringing it all together and coming to peace, coming to terms with his relationship with IG-11. But he still is angry at other battle droids, and here are the very ones that shook his town. Obviously not the one that held him at gunpoint, because the Mando saved him, and a lot of the Mandos ended up killing most of the regiment. So this regiment hates the Mandalorians just as much as the Mandalorian hates them. So it looks like things about to go down. There's about to be a big showdown, but the child uses the Force to stop things a bit, to delay the game, when things start to think, okay, it's going to calm down. We're going to be all right. Just let us leave. But then, ba-boom, ba-boom, the ship gets shot. What is the ship shot by? Who on earth could possibly be shooting this scavenger ship? Is it the New Republic? Is it the Empire? No. You look out the window, and you see it's the ARC fighters that the clones flew. And it's super old clones who are shooting the ship. We're talking, you know, if you thought Rex was old by the time of Star Wars Rebels, by the time of The Mandalorian, these guys are ancient. They got walkers, they got ear horns, they got glasses, so their shots are off. So actually, it turns out they were shooting at the ship a long time before it actually hit. But now you see that these clones are shooting at the ship with these battle droids, and the Mandalorian has to, first and foremost, come to the decision. You know, does he team up with the battle droids to help save himself and the child? Does he try to run away? Does he team up with the clones? And that's a real ethical dilemma for him. But eventually, due to all sorts of hijinks that I have not yet imagined, but I'm sure the writers will get this. They already have. You know, it's going to be excellent when we see it in footage. They're going to all get together and be like, guys, the real bad guys here is the Imperial Remnant out to try to take the child. So the clones and the battle droids, you know, they agree, we need to stick together and we need to go out and do our thing. And we'll keep the people who are after you, Mandalorian, we'll keep them distracted. Roger, roger. And so the Mandalorian goes flying off. The clones and the battle droids are in the same ship together, and you know, you think they're starting to get comfortable. But right as the Mandalorian goes away, oh, the cat's come out. Hello, cat. Like I said, there's going to be cats and dogs in this episode indirectly. You shouldn't be out here at this time. There you go. Go back inside. Okay. We're going to keep that in because it's all about the authentic experience here listening to the show. But, anyhow, right when the Mandalorian's out and the clones and the battle droids are starting to draw up a plan, we see a Star Destroyer show up and just blast it out of the sky. So there goes the Mandalorian's allies. The clones and the old B2 battle droids. R.I.P. Pour one out for the homies. So on and so forth. Okay, and now let's say scattered. That was episode 2. Episode 3 and 4, let's just assume that follows the usual expected trajectory. So whatever it is that the, you know, writers originally had in mind for the Mandalorian episode 3 and episode 4, that happens. But episode 5 comes around. Gotta get that prequels appreciation back in. We need to go back to another prequels planet. And you know what I'm talking about here is Mustafar. Yes, Mustafar, because Din the Mandalorian was doing some sniffing around, some feeling around, and he heard that Mustafar had a strong connection to the Force, this, you know, spiritual entity that these Jedi are supposedly so into. Now, little does he know that this is, in fact, a reference to the dark side, because that's where Vader's castle is, but the Mandalorian doesn't know that. He assumes he's going to a Jedi temple. And this actually turns into kind of almost like a horror film type thing as the Mandalorian and the child are navigating through Vader's castle on Mustafar. And what's left over of where the Separatist Council was all shattered down and shattered down. They weren't glass. Good God. Where they were all sliced up and cut down is the more realistic thing we should be saying here. And left for dead. So there's skeletons of Nemoidians and Moons and old Wat Tambor just laying there all decayed at this point. You get to see he's actually a really skinny skeleton, so most of that was just fat. Fat and cartilage. When you lift up the whole skirt thing, it's just very bare bones. I say just something to chew on there. The Mandalorian sees that and some trippy force stuff and but lo and behold, there is a cyborg Poggle the Lesser still living who's been there a long time. I'm talking a long time. This has been 24 years since the Separatists were all cut down. The Poggle the Lesser as a cyborg is hanging out there. And he's invited other Geonosians. And there's a little Geonosian colony. Geonosians in exile. Because after all, Geonosis, you know, as we learn watching Star Wars Rebels, is pretty much decimated with the exception of a goofy little guy named Click Clack and an egg. So, Poggle the Lesser and the Geonosians meet up with the Mandalorian who tell him this is an accursed place. The Mandalorian's able to ask about the Jedi in the forest and where can I go to know more about the Jedi? Now, Poggle the Lesser thinks very, very, very poorly about the Jedi for incredibly obvious reasons. After all, the Jedi decimated his people and ruined his arena when he was putting on a great show. You know? I mean, as far as he's concerned, the Jedi are the greatest danger to entertainment. They were having a great public education, and the Jedi just showed up and just took everything for a storm. You know, that's like them interrupting the Super Bowl. So, Poggle the Lesser is very biased, but he does say, oh yes, Jedi, I know the Jedi. But of course it's more click-clacky, and since he is a cyborg, let's assume he can speak common tongue, speak what we as the listeners perceive as English, or if you watch it in a foreign country as, you know, Chinese or Italian or, you know, whatever. Chinese or Italian, Mandarin, good gosh. This is what happens when you're going on the fly and there's distractions all around you. So anyhow, Poggle the Lesser says, if you want to know the Jedi, you have to go to Coruscant. Because they got a temple there. And then we get to see the Mandalorian go to the Coruscant temple, which also gives us what we really want to know, which is what on earth is going on in Coruscant after Return of the Jedi. Yes, we get little snippets in the novel Aftermath, and you hear things officially, and oh, you know, are there Imperial sympathizers? Does it go to the New Republic? Yada, yada, yada. But no, Episode 6, after the Mandalorian was on Mustafar, is finally going to Coruscant. And that's where he's just going to spend the rest of the whole show. 6, 7, 8. Entire rest of the season, Mandalorian just going to be kicking it up on Coruscant, and it's going to be great. It's going to be glorious. He's going to go to Dex's diner. He's going to drink some Jawa juice. He's going to do all the fun things that we hope and expect. Somebody going to Coruscant and wanting to relive the prequels eras well after the fact would do. How's the season going to end? I don't know. Let the writers get to that. I'm sure they had some idea of where they wanted this story to go, so I don't want to try to tell them anything different. And, yeah. There's plenty more prequels references you can throw in there, of course, but I like this. You don't want to overwhelm it. Keep a little bit. That's why I didn't touch episodes 3 and 4. You know, episodes 3 and 4, that's for them to do whatever they want to do. Now, does Moff Gideon show up with the Darksaber on Coruscant, and will we see Cara Dune again, and Greef Karga? I don't know. You know, you see these trailers that drop, and these trailers are nothing but just tricks. Half the stuff you see, and it's probably not going to be in the movie anyway. And by movie, I mean TV show. But historically, it's been movies. Like, look what they did with Thor's eye patch. So the trailer, we see, you know, oh, here's a Cyclops and looking like a fighting ring. Well, maybe that doesn't happen. It could. Maybe that's happening in Mustafar, for all we know. Keeping with the whole prequels thing going on. But, yeah, I think most of it's just fake. Right here. Anyhow, so none of this will likely come true. But if any of them does, I'm claiming creative right. Right now, as of this moment. Recording here, October 23rd, 2020. 4:17 Central Daylight Time in Austin, Texas. So if we see the Mandalorian confuse Yoda's species for Gungans and go to Naboo and meet C.O. Bibble's great-grandson, played by Hannibal Buress or another beloved comedian, well, I called it. I'll be stunned, though. You know, really, I will do something amazing if that exact scenario happens. Maybe a little bit of it will happen. You know, we're not sure. Anyhow, it's been a fun little foray, and like I say, kind of off the cuff and a lot of stuff going on, and not one of the longer episodes, but per usual, I always appreciate when you tune into my silly little program. I know there's other shows out there that draw big crowds and have good people on consistently, where I'm kind of just sort of touch and go, but I do appreciate you, the loyal listeners of the Babble Bubble. We got some fun projects coming down the line. If you like hearing my ramblings and rantings, I'll give a couple shout-outs to some other shows that I'm on. You can always check out the Imperial Senate Podcast's Patreon page, where I am a co-host of the Sacred Jedi Bricks. That's a program that looks at the LEGO Freemaker Adventures. It's an ongoing commentary. You watch the show, you click play, you get to hear me and Nikki, one of the Imperial Senate hosts who's been on this show plenty of times, talk about that. I'm also on their Senate Library podcast, special on Thrawn Ascendancy, Chaos Rising, so keep a lookout for that. And on Octo Radio, we had Alden Diaz on in the past two episodes here, talking about the goofy characters of Attack of the Clones, and he's running a great little bit on Star Wars horror films, Oktoberfest, so make sure to check that out, where I'm on talking about Ewok horrors, because who doesn't love the horrific, though adorable, little Ewoks? But per usual, without nothing else to say, I will catch you all around.